Welcome to the Church of the Redeemer Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Amen. Good worship.
Hallelujah. Give God glory for his presence in this place and for what he's doing in our lives, what he's already done, what he's yet going to do. I'm excited about the yet going. Matthew 8, we're going to look, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18 because I think it's necessary for the pericope to have context or for it to proper understanding. That just means the passage that we're preaching from. But I can tell you that the area of focus will be 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. This is what the Bible says. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I hear y'all helping me. Thank you. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, hold on, before you get all excited, you need to know this. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but where I'm going, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Here we go. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Say they followed. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. That means unexpectedly. That means I didn't see it coming. It means it caught me off guard. Okay. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Say sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us." Notice their proclamation here. It's interesting. They say very matter-of-factly, "We're going to drown." They've already decided. Jesus ain't even awake yet, but they've said, okay. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." I want to preach a message by the Spirit. Pray and be Raymond today. Y'all pray for me. Preach with me. Help your boy out today. Preaching in difficult times. That how to handle the storm. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. How to handle the storm. Storms are an inevitable part of life. I've heard it said, you've heard it said, Sister Anna, that you are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm. I think it's important for the purpose of preaching the holistic gospel and inserting hope into that, that you need to know there's green pastures too. But if you're like me, it wasn't that long ago I was laid out on the beach with my family. Skies were blue. Day was just epic. And not a cloud overhead. And I didn't realize it because it began to brew behind us. That a storm was coming, and by the time it got over top of us, all we could do was grab our things, and my wife was doing the black woman hair run. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Kim, do not tell her I said that. Do not put this on the podcast. Don't put this on the. We got caught off guard because the storm was coming from a direction that we weren't looking in. We weren't prepared because if you ever been on the beach before, I came by to tell you, looking out at the water, it can be hypnotic. Waves are just rolling in, this green water, sand in between your toes. You ain't thinking about looking for nothing. And that's dangerous. It's not to say that you should not ever get to a place where you relax and lay back. You should. As I believe by the Spirit, the Bible teaches us that part of the reason that Jesus came is to give you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. But there's something called preparation, and preparation can only happen when you are not just relaxing, but you also every now and then scan the horizon to your right and to your left just to make sure that you don't need to be preparing for a storm. In this case, I can imagine that for the disciples, this scenario was a big different because they are fishermen, many of them, but they have not been walking with Jesus very long. And so one of the problems when you have not been walking with the Lord very long is that you, if you're like me, when I begin to walk with God, you can begin to lull yourself into thinking that just because I'm walking with him, I no longer have to deal with storms. You can think that because I'm with Jesus now, I'm in a safe place, and so I don't have to deal with life. And so when loved ones begin to pass away and those storms begin to arise, it can throw you for a loop because you're with Jesus now. You didn't think you would have to deal with those storms. You got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, came in, fire baptized, running around the church on Sunday morning, but you found out the bill collector don't care nothing about none of that. They still want their money, and so you're trying to figure out. You found out if you don't pay your bills, the light still won't stay on. You found out that you still too can have cancer in your body. You found out that a loved one can still pass away. You found out because some of us have been walking with the Lord long enough to know this, but these disciples are early on in their walk. And so this is probably, Sister Kim, uniquely troubling for them because they're trying to figure out how it could be that we could put Jesus in the boat. He tell us to go in that direction. We know it was him. We're not out here on the lake by ourselves. The Bama's still in the boat with us. We know he told us to go in this direction. We know it was him. We heard him say it. He spoke to us very clearly. We know we're going exactly where we're supposed to go. And you are. And you are. And you are. And so that's the first point for the preaching on this morning. You need to understand that just because a storm arises does not mean you're not headed in the right direction. Somebody needs to receive that. Open up. Open up your spirit. Open up your heart. Open up your mouth. Open up your mind and receive that. Just because a storm comes up suddenly, just because something changes direction, just because it does not mean, just because the winds and the waves rage does not mean you're not headed in the right direction. No, disciples, you are going exactly where it is that God has called you to go. You're headed in the right way. So storms come, and if you're not careful, what can happen in the midst of a storm is you can lose your bearing, and you can forget all about the direction in which God has called you to go. And what's interesting about this is that Jesus has already given them clear direction. He says, get in the boat. Go to the other side. That's where I want you to go. And because I'm certain that we're going to get there, I can rest and I can sleep. I can sleep even though it's storming. Now, here's the second thing that's the challenge for the disciple. The storms are raging and the brother with all the answers is asleep. In other words, it seems like he doesn't feel like this is as big of a deal as I do. Because by this point, the boat has got to be pitching. The boat is going up and down. The boat is raging. And if you look at it in some of the other passages, because this story is in all of the synoptic gospels, so it's in Luke and it's in Mark, you'll see that Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. So you know it's raging in the back of the boat. If you've been on a boat before, you know if you stay in the middle, sometimes it can stay a little level. But if you're on the front or in the back, you go up and down and up and down. And despite the waves raging over the boat, despite the wind whipping through, despite the rain, I'm sure, is coming down, despite the boat pitching, Jesus is fast asleep. Now, you have to analyze that, and you have to look back at yourself, because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, that means that I've got to learn how to do what Jesus does. Oh, God. And can I tell you one of the things that Jesus is great at that we as human beings do not do very well? I don't know about anybody else. I'm only talking about myself. Can I tell you something that I fail at oftentimes, Minister Lingham, and that you and I both, I believe, a Redeemer, fail at throughout the day? We like to be reactionary. We like to react to what's going on. We like to react to what somebody said. That's why somebody got punched in the face by you not too long ago, because you can be reactionary. That's why your voice got raised and you thought you were going to cuss them out, because you like to be reactionary. That's why you cried when you didn't expect to cry, because you like to be reactionary. Before you take the time to see Jesus' response, you already reacting. But he is the head of the ship. Hallelujah. Now, can I preach to you and tell you what's interesting about that? The Bible teaches us that he's actually sleeping in the back of the ship. Woo! But he's still the head of the ship. Can I tell you, sometimes you need to adjust your gaze, and that's what Jesus does, because if you're looking at the front of the ship, if you're looking out the front, if you're looking at what's coming, he'll make you go down. It'll bring you down. And I love the fact that Jesus likes to position himself in the direction that I need to be gazing. I love the fact that Jesus puts himself, that's why he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Stop looking at the wind and stop looking at the waves and stop looking at what's coming. You don't even know if it's going to still be there by the time you arrive, but you already down and you already crying and you already depressed and you already sad because of what you think is going to happen and what you think is not going to happen. But Jesus ain't over there where all that mess is happening. Jesus is right back there. I dare you to turn around in your prayer closet and say, you know what? Life is raging around me, but I'm going to put my eyes on the master. I dare you to turn around in your worship and close your eyes if you got to and say, I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm going to put my eyes on the master. You've got to force yourself to keep your eyes on. Tell your neighbor, look at Jesus. Tell your neighbor, look at Jesus. Tell your neighbor, look at Jesus. Stop looking at what's making you cry and look at Jesus. Stop looking at what's raging and what's moving. Good God Almighty, can I tell you, that'll preach. Can I tell you, when I was a little boy about my son's age, I used to go to this place, and interesting, look at this name, Minister D, you're going to love this. Thought about you when God was giving it to me. It was called Life Gymnastics. That was where I took gymnastics. Isn't that amazing? Life Gymnastics. I'm not making it up. Life Gymnastics on West Broad Street in Richmond, VA. And when we were learning how to balance, what they taught us is this. They said, if you're going to walk on a balance beam in life's gymnastics, what you're going to have to learn how to do is this. You're going to have to learn how to balance. And a key aspect of your balance is your focus. They said, if you look at the children running around, you're going to fall. If you look at what's happening all around you in the room, you're going to end up on your face. If you look at what's going on and the movement that's taking place, if you watch the movement instead of the stillness, if you watch the movement instead of picking a spot, you're going to fall. And I came by to tell you, life gymnastics taught me something about life. And the same thing is true for Jesus. And I wonder if the reason that he's sleeping in the midst of the storm is so that the disciples have a fixed spot to focus on, so that they can stay centered and so that they can keep from falling, even though there's change and movement it all around them. Good God, you may not want this preaching, but it's coming anyway. I came by to tell you that when life starts to move on you and when things start to shift and start to change, God sent me by here to tell somebody, you've got to learn how to keep your eyes focused on the Master, because the Bible says that he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. When your money gets funny, keep your eyes on the Master. When your loved ones walk away, keep your eyes on the Master. Keep your eyes on the Master. When friends and family, when they turn their backs on you, God sent me by to tell somebody, you got to learn how to keep your eyes on the Master. And I've learned something about that even when I preach. Can I give y'all a little flashback to the younger Omari? When I first started preaching, I used to be intimidated by what the people would say, and I did not know whether or not I would be able to stay focused, because I've never been a manuscript preacher. I've always tried to preach based on what I hear him dropping into my mind at the time, and I used to be afraid because people would not look at me. I used to get nervous because sometimes deacons would fall asleep. I used to feel like quitting because not everybody would want to hear what I had to say. But I learned that when that's where I am, I learned a little secret. I would grab the microphone and I would close my eyes and I would keep my eyes focused on the Master. I dare somebody in here to learn how to keep your eyes on the Master. I need somebody to know there are going to be times in your life where you can't look to your left and you can't look to your right. I need somebody to know. I need somebody to know there are going to be times in your life where your friends are going to walk away. There are going to be times in your life when there are going to be frowns all around you. But I heard the Bible say that he will keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on him. Jump up on your feet right now. Give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, say he will keep you. He'll keep you. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. And I heard the Bible say that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. See, the disciples didn't realize it. There was a storm all around them. But my God, Jesus was still in the boat. They didn't know it, but they were in the presence of the Lord. I heard the Bible say that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Is there anybody here? You know that there's a storm. You know the winds rage. But you looked over and the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got up this morning and Jesus was still on your mind. You got up this morning and you felt the Holy Ghost was still on you. So is he with you in the storm? If he's with you, you ought to say yeah. Say yeah. Say he's with me. And so everything is going to be all right. Tell your neighbor for me. Tell him he's with you in the storm. Come on, tell your neighbor for me. I'm asking you. Tell them he's with you in the storm. Come on, if they don't look like they believe it, tell them a high five. Smile at them. Tell them he's with you. He's with you. He's with you in the storm. Anybody been through a storm and found out he can keep you in the storm in perfect peace? Say yeah. Jesus is still in the boat. 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 Oh, Lord, Jesus is still in the boat. Oh, God. Jesus is still in the boat. Doesn't matter who the captain is, Jesus is still in the boat. Doesn't matter who's rowing the oars, Jesus is still in the boat. Doesn't matter who comes and who goes, Jesus is still. And that's how you handle your storm. You look at him. You look at him. Does he look nervous? No, he don't look nervous. Oh, okay. What happens in life is, if you are honest about this, you got to be honest for this to come out as truth, though. If you're like me in human moments, the greatest temptation to revert back to the pre-Jesus you generally shows up in the middle of a storm. You get bad news. Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody makes you mad. When things are cool, you know, you walk around with your Jesus joy. You know, everything's cool. Somebody see you on the street. You coming out the club. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. But mess around and be coming out of the door of your job after you just got fired. You still blessed and highly favored of the Lord? Let me bring it back home. Mess around and find out that you have a child who's pregnant and you didn't realize it, didn't want that to happen. You still blessed and highly favored? God is good all the time. See, for this to hit, you got to be honest. You got to take yourself back to difficult moments in your life. That's good. That's good. Make sure her mic is on. That you got to take it back to difficult moments in your life, and you got to realize that the difficulty makes it very tempting to forget all about the fact that Jesus is still in the boat. No. Yeah, they fired you, but he's still providing all needs. Yeah, your child made a mistake, but they still saved. They going to heaven, and the baby is too. He'll keep you in the midst of the storm if you keep your eyes stayed on him. And we're going to deal with this during the 11:15 hour, if the Spirit allows. But I want to share this with you as you stand to your feet on this morning. That when you really look at the passage of Scripture and you look at it again and all of the synoptics. So when you look at it in Mark and you look at it in Luke and you look at it in Matthew, what is abundantly clear is that Jesus doesn't rebuke them for waking him up. No. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, I would have woke him up a long time before they did. I would have looked up and seen I would have seen some clouds. Oh, no, Jesus, yo, I'm sorry, bro. You got to get up, because I was doing a wedding for my cousin, and I was where I am. The congregation was where y'all are, but we were outside. And what they couldn't see that I could see was that a storm was coming. It was the fastest wedding I ever done in my life. I would have woke him up a long time before they did. His problem wasn't that they woke him up. His problem was that they had already decided what the outcome was going to be. Oh! Oh! They woke him up and they said, Jesus, we're going to drown. In one of the Gospels, they said, don't you care about us? Oh, God. You asking Jesus if he cares? You asking Jesus if he's going to let you drown? He already told you we're going to the other side. You can wake me up and ask you whatever you want to ask me, but don't put words in my mouth. I am the Alpha and Omega, and God has the final say. And that's a corrective for all of us, because when storms hit, we start deciding, oh, it's going to be bad. Oh, it's going to be this. Oh, it's going to be that. God has the final say. God has the final say. And as long as he's in the boat with you, everything is going to be all right. Put your hands together and give God some praise. Let's open up the doors of the church on today. Come on. My. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise. Jesus is still in the boat. He's 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 still in the boat. Is he still in the boat, Redeemer? Amen. Let's open up the doors of the church. Is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. They need to give your life to the Lord. This is a great church.